الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. On this beautiful day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in this noble month of Ramadan, we are gathered here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to purify our hearts and to correct our af'al, our actions, our beliefs, and those important elements of our salah which will enable us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by emulating the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah azza wa jal accept our attendance and enable us all to act on the things that we hear and to transform our lives. I was just thinking that when our wives, alhamdulillah, you know, they work so hard to prepare food for us on a daily basis for Sahri and for Iftari. They get up, they go and they shop and they get the correct amount of food and meats and all of the other things. Then they prick it up and bring it home, and then they sort it out, and then they cut it and prepare it and they cook it. And in spite of all of this effort and this sacrifice and this time, all we have to do is just simply look at the food, appreciate the food and eat the food, and we will benefit from it. And if we don't still benefit from the food, then we are the ones who are actually the losers, not the person who's actually spent all that time. So I was just thinking that, you know, for the last, alhamdulillah, 15, 16 days, we have been sitting here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been given so much food, food for the soul, food for the heart, for us to take in, for us to consume, for us to rejuvenate and replenish ourselves and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every single bayan that I have been delivering, believe me, it takes me 2 to 3 hours to prepare it. And then obviously I deliver it for an hour or so, and then all you guys have to do literally is just listen to the things that I have been saying and just take one or two or three of those things and just start implementing them. That is when you will start taking the benefit and the reward and share it for yourself and share it with other people. This is food for the soul. This is provisions for your heart, and this is provisions for the hereafter. So take the most of these opportunities that are given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we continued our journey in understanding the mechanics of our salah. We've done the takbir, which is Allahu Akbar, calling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and saying that He is indeed the greatest. And then we went to the thana, which is the greeting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greeting Allah in the best of manners. And then we tried to yesterday start with the ta'awuz, which is a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We tried to do that yesterday, but we obviously, it required a lot of introduction and prelude before getting to that. We discussed in just a quick summary yesterday's events was that every single person in their particular field is an expert, whether it's a chef, whether it's a mechanic, whether it's a person who does wax and shine, whether a person who does coding, any person in their respective fields, they know the quality of something. They know the standard of something and they know the beauty of something just by observing it or just by touching it and understanding its properties. They know what the value of that particular thing is. And this is the question that I asked all of us, that what is the value, what is the quality, and what is the standard of our salah? Only you can answer that question. And for those who do have those standards, when they observe us in our day-to-day prayers, they can tell immediately what type of prayer that we are praying, what type of quality or what type of standard that we are following when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned that the standard in the time of the Sahaba ikram, in the time of the Sahaba, the Salihin, and the great predecessors of Islam, the standard of salah was very, very high. Every single person knew all of the prerequisites of wudu, of the salah, what are the fard, what are the wajibat, what are the sunnahs. Everybody knew internally how to achieve that khushu, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they also knew externally how best to follow and how accurately to follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And as a consequence of that, there were no appointed imams in the masajid. Whenever it was a time for salah, every person knew how to say the azan correctly. They knew how to say the iqama. And whoever was available, whoever was in the first saf, they would go forward simply and recite the salah and continue and lead the salah. And this is the same standard that we need to hold ourselves accountable to ourselves. That we should be at that standard. And if you're not at that standard after 20, 30 years of praying that salah, then ask yourself, what are you doing with your salah? This is the basic standard that every single one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Ibrahim alayhi salam was dua was, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That, oh Allah, for the muttaqeen, for the righteous, for those who have taqwa and awareness of you, Allah, make us true leaders, make us true imams. So we are imams within our homes, we are imam in our different capacities, which means leaders. And we should always be readily available to lead our salah in congregation when we are traveling with friends in our homes. And even in the masjid, and not just be like those meerkats who are constantly looking around waiting for the imam to turn up because he's running a bit late. So this is something that we really need to reflect upon in terms of our internal and external standards of our salah. And believe me, it really saddens me because over the last 10 years, and I can say this sitting in the masjid, nobody has actually come to me and said, Imam Sahib, listen to my salah, listen to my Fatiha, listen to my surah, tell me how to do the ruku properly, how to do. Nobody has come and said that. We are here in the masjid, on the minbar, and sitting here telling you again and again, but it actually should come from the congregation that, you know, I want to get closer to Allah. I want to, you know, protect myself in my salah. I want the waswas of the shaitan to be far, far away from me. Listen to my salah. Show me all of my shortcomings or failings and tell me where all of my deficiencies are and raise my standard. This is something that we really need to reflect upon in ourselves and really try to correct in our standards for our salah when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we went on to the shaitan, who is an open enemy to insan. And he has vowed and made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will attack us from every single position, from the right and the left, from in front of us, behind us, above us, in every single direction. He has made it his lifetime goal to distract us, to delude us, and to take us to the dunya and keep us away from the remembrance and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know he is our enemy. But in spite of knowing that he is our enemy, we are still sleeping with the enemy, or we are still colluding with the enemy, or we are still working with the enemy. We're not at war with our enemy. Do you know, imagine somebody, you know, declared war against you. You wouldn't be with them all the time, and you wouldn't say, oh, come with me, let's go pray together to the masjid. And in my namaz, when I'm supposed to be praying, you can tell me all the things I have forgotten during the day. You wouldn't be doing certain things like that. And shaitan himself, he says in his unequivocal statement, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records in the Quran, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. That Allah's promise was true, my promise was fake. I only whispered these things, I never forced you to do anything. You thought of these things, you did these things, you kept away from Allah, you kept away from salah, you didn't perfect your salah, you didn't raise the standards of your salah, you just thought, Tika, I've heard this thing, it feels good, and then it's out the other ear, and that's it, all year, then we're not going to do anything about that thing. So he said, don't blame me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me. You can only blame yourself. I've got nothing to do with this. And in another verse of the Quran, I forgot to mention it yesterday. Do you know what he actually says? قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That I'm completely absolved and free of you. I've got no land then with you. Okay? What does he actually say? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I actually fear my Lord, Rabbul Alameen. This is Shaitan saying that. You know, and imagine us, Yaro, we come to Allah, we don't have that fear when we're presenting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we always blame the people or the surrounding or the circumstances and the Shaitan that we can't focus, but we really need to focus on ourselves. So we know there is an enemy and he's out there to get us. He's out there to destroy us. So how would you react if it was a colleague, or if it was a family or a friend, or just a general enemy who is trying to destroy you or harm you or do something for you to prevent you from achieving your goals and your objectives, you'd do something about it, wouldn't you? Just the way you do something about your immune system to protect yourself. You wear your clothes to protect yourself from the element. You take the dawai to protect yourself from bimari and viruses. You take the food to protect yourself from weakness and all of these other things. You do all of these things to constantly protect yourself. You have children to protect your progeny, to protect your lineage, to protect your line. You do all of these things to protect yourselves. Why do we not protect ourselves from our greatest enemy, which is the shaitan? So he knows our weaknesses, and he constantly is using those weaknesses against us. Every single opportunity that he gets, he is working relentlessly day and night. There is no 12-hour shift, there is no 8-hour shift. He's working 24 hours a day, every single day. Him and his minions constantly there, working day and night, plotting against us. And he never takes a rest even for a minute. And he's waiting very, very patiently, very, very patiently for just a moment of vulnerability, a moment of weakness, a moment of heedlessness, so where he can enter into our mind and into our heart. It's just like, you know, burglars and robbers and all these other people. They go around up and down the streets and they look for the house with the weakest windows, with the old windows, PVC windows, or with the weak door. They look for all of these vulnerabilities before they say, this is going to be the house that I'm going to burgle on, this is the person I'm going to rob. They look for these things. But if your house outwardly looks strong and it looks, you know, protected with CCTV and all the various other protections, then they will think two or three times and they will stay away from that because they know they can get caught. But we, because we are so weak, the shaitan knows we are easy prey, so he's constantly in us, with us in our salah. And this is why those whispers don't go away, because we ourselves are weak. We do not have those barriers, we do not have that cloak, we do not have that shield to protect ourselves from the shaitan, because we are constantly in a state of vulnerability. Believe me, this house this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realistically, if you think about it, it's for members only. It's a private club. Why? Because it's for the people of Iman. Yes? People of Iman come in here. The shaitan is not a person of Iman. He's taken away from that. So if there's anybody who comes into the masjid, it is us. We should be coming into the masjid. He doesn't really have access to the masjid. But you know, when you go to work, you have the swipe, and you swipe your card, you have the fob, and only you're allowed to go in, and nobody else is allowed to go in. Unless you say to the person at the reception, or you say to somebody at the door, or when you open the door, you say, oh, he's with me. And then they say, chalo, theek hai, jaan deo. You know, in Pakistan, they say, eh, mere naal hai, and then 10 people go with that one person. You get access because you're with the right person. So this is a members only place. People of Iman only come into the masjid. So if the shaitan is in your mind and in your heart, it's because you're bringing him with you in salah. You're bringing him with you in the masjid. And then you say, yara, I can't focus and concentrate in my salah. Who is bringing this plus one with? Who is saying, allow him access to come into the masjid? It is us. We leave our hearts open. We leave our minds open. We leave our thoughts open so that shaitan is always with us, and then he's going to infiltrate everything. So where is your shield? Where is your cloak? Where is your protection? Where is your antivirus to the shaitan, or anti-satanic virus for the shaitan? Where are your defense mechanisms? How do you protect yourself? You know, when you're at war with another country, then you either are defending yourself from their attack, or you're attacking them and you're protecting yourself. Or you're doing something, or you either take a truce where you say, we're not even doing a truce, we're not even attacking, we're not even defending. You say, Aju, naan na chalo sada nuksan karo and destroy us from within. But then he's going to turn around and say, don't say anything to me, I've got nothing to do with you guys on the day of Qiyamah. So we need to be really, really careful about this enemy, this open enemy that we have. And what is his objectives? The reason why we're going into this, because you'll understand that if you understand who the enemy is and what his attacks are, what he tries to do, and you can expel him from your salah, expel him from your life to a certain degree, and then you can begin to enjoy your salah that much more. So his objectives are what? Understand your enemy, learn your enemy, who he is. He wants you to commit shirk. That is his greatest objective, for you to associate the partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his job is done. ٹھیک ہے. اینڈ اف یو کانٹ گیٹ یو ٹو ڈو شرک بیکاز الحمد للہ یو آر آل کمنگ ٹو دا مسجد یو آر آل پرینگ ٹو اے سرٹن ڈگری دین ہی وانٹس یو ٹو ڈو کفر وچ از ٹو ریجیکٹ سرٹن تھنگز آف دا دین اور سلولی ڈس بلیو اینڈ گیٹ فردر اینڈ فردر اوے فرام دا دین بیکم ایگنوسٹک بیکم این ایتھیسٹ اور بیکم اے پرسن ہو ڈزنٹ پریکٹس دا دین اینی مور ڈزنٹ ایون تھنک اباؤٹ دا دین دا جسٹ مسلمز پیورلی بائی نیم سو یو کانٹ ڈو شرک چلو آئی ٹرائی ٹو میک ہم اے کافر کفر اور دین اف یو کانٹ گیٹ دیٹ دین آئی ٹرائی اینڈ میک ہم ڈو بدعاز نیو تھنگز نیو انوویشنز ان دا دین سو دیٹ ویئر یو تھنک ویٹ اے منٹ اٹس ناٹ پارٹ اینڈ پارسل آف دا دین وی نیڈ ٹو بی یو نو کیئرفل اباؤٹ دوز تھنگز دین اف یو کانٹ ڈو دیٹ دین ہی ول کیئرلیس ٹو ڈو میجر سنز alcohol, zina, fornication, gambling, taking drugs, interest, and all of these other things and major sins that he'll try to do. And if he can't do that, then he'll try with our minor sins as well. Oh, you don't have to do these sunnahs. You don't have to do these nawafils. Oh, it's okay for you to do a white lie here and do this and do that. It's okay for you to do these small things. It doesn't really matter. So he can't get you on the major, he'll get you on the minor. And then if he can't get you on the minor things, then he'll start to get you to waste your time. Or watching football is not haram, but it's okay, watch a few more hours. Watch a few more hours of this series and a few more of this and a few more of that, and they just become a bit more neglectful of your other responsibilities towards the deen, towards your family. Then start wasting your time, even if they may be in good things. And then he'll start to get you to do, choose the lesser of good deeds. When you have an option between you, should I do this? This is a greater reward. Chalo, I'll use this one. This is a bit easier. Oh, das warna diyo masjidnu. Chalo, I've got a pound. I'll give a pound. Oh no, let me find all the coins and the change that I have. Not neither now. Let me just give a few of these pennies a bacha kucha, make my pocket a bit lighter on Jum'ah or the other events. We always try to make you do the least of what you should do for the deen or for yourself. Oh, and if you can't win then he'll start to make you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start to make you love the dunya. Start to make you forget death. Forgetting death is a major thing that he tries to do as well. He'll try to make you more and more stingy. He'll try to make you more and more arrogant and try to make you show off more and question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nizam and how everything works. He'll try to get you follow your desires and become more and more negative towards each other and other people and belittle the sins that you do. Oh, it doesn't matter. Kyo ya? Kinda nuksan ho ya? I haven't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter. Allah la khair sallallahu. These are his attacks. These are the things that he does. And we should know these things and we should understand these things so that we can counteract them and we can defend ourselves from the shaitan who is there. So what should we do as Muslims? We should be constantly increasing our knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increasing our knowledge in the deen of Islam, increasing our knowledge of salah. And this is what we've been doing. Khushu, the haiba, khawf, raja, wudu, all of these things, increasing our knowledge. As I said, that your wife can go through all of the effort of making something for you, and then you don't eat it or appreciate it, and then that's it, it's wasted. So everything that you have been given over the last 15, 16 days, use it, understand it, reflect upon it, implement it, apply it, change your life slowly but surely, bit by bit. Otherwise, that knowledge will be of no benefit to you, be in one ear, out the other. So acquire knowledge, increase your knowledge, act upon that knowledge, rely more and more upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek refuge in the protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a ta'awwuz, which is away from the shaitan. Follow and love the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Constantly engage yourself in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your tongues moist in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always stay in a state of wudu. Read and reflect upon the Quran, upon the deen, and upon the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. These are the things that we need to do actively, and then you'll see that our separation will automatically begin away from the shaitan, and it will have less and less influence over us, and we'll be more and more stronger. More and more stronger, and we won't be susceptible to all of the whispers that he has, because we know what he's doing. You know, when your child is about to lie to you and you just smile at them, you say, I know exactly what you want. I know exactly, you know, because you know exactly what they're like. When you know all of these attacks and all of these tactics of the shaitan, you're like, wait a minute, you can't affect me here. You can't do this to me. You can't do that to me. I'm too strong for you. Because you'll be stronger because you have the knowledge, you have the deen, you have the amal, you have all of these things. But if you don't, then you'll just be an open target for the shaitan to constantly attack you. So some of the things I want to mention in relation to the shaitan before we actually get to the tawwuz, I promise we'll do that today. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, just so that we can understand the shaitan a bit more. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that do not eat and drink with your left hand. You might think this is a small thing, it's a minor thing. But all of these things, they build up, and they strengthen. Just like, you know, when you have ivy and it wraps it round itself around the tree or the trunk and your house, and it becomes very, very difficult. If you catch it early, then it's very easy to cut it from the root. Otherwise, it will suffocate an entire home and other trees. So you need to look at all of these small things in relation to the shaitan, so that you can cut it off from the roots to prevent him having a greater influence and control over you, especially in your salah. So do not eat and do not drink with the left hand, because the left hand is the hand that the shaitan uses to eat as well. So we always use our right hand. We shake with our right hand, we meet with our right hand, we eat with our right hand. We begin everything with our right hand in Islam. Do not give and take with the left hand. Again, the Messenger ﷺ mentions that the shaitan, he gives and he takes with his left hand. Whereas Muslims, we always give a gift. You know, so many times children, other people, they just give you the money and you say, no, beta, put it in your right hand. Then give it to me. Give it in your right. Receive it in your right. This is the sunnah. And this again protects you and reinforces your iman and your belief and keeps the shaitan away, because every time he eats and drinks and you eat with your drink, with your left hand, then there's no barakah in your food. There's no barakah in your drink. There's no barakah in the things that you take or give with your left hand, because it's all tainted and touched by the shaitan. So again, you want to sever that connection away from the shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ, a big major one for us, is that never be in seclusion with a non-mahram, with the opposite sex. You should never be in seclusion with them. Why? Because the third person will always be the shaitan. No matter how strong that you think that you are, over time, you're going to just talk to them. First of all, just smile. Just acknowledge, and then just say hi, and then just, you know, start a conversation, and then just say what you're doing, and then it carries on and goes more and more. Then you become less and less hesitant, and you start sharing more and more, and then things go in the wrong direction. Even when, you know, mounting a camel, the Prophet ﷺ said, like for example, for us now, is whether it's driving a car or a motorbike or any other vehicle, Prophet ﷺ said, always say Bismillah, begin with Bismillah, because there'll be barakah for you, and it will protect you from the shaitan, who will be there, trying to be there with you. Even when you are yawning, the Prophet ﷺ said, try to withhold the yawn as much as possible, and if you can't, then with the back of your hand, you should put the back of your hand over your mouth. Why? Because this is the entry point of the shaitan, and he tries to enter into you again. You might think, whoa, what's the shaitan trying to enter in me? But he's trying to be within you and trying to influence, and then he tries to sit on the top of your heart and purchase over your heart, just waiting for an opportunity for you to forget Allah, for you to be heedless, and then he goes and whispers and do all of those things. So he runs through us, just like blood runs through us. So try to protect yourself and all of your entrances as much as you can, your eyes, your ears, and especially when you're yawning, use the back of your hand to prevent the shaitan from entering in. Similarly with our salah, and one of the most important things that we are discussing, the Prophet ﷺ repeated this so much, and we still neglect this as well, that never leave gaps in your salah. Always stand shoulder to shoulder. If you do not, then the shaitan will come between you and even in that gap, and he will stand there. What will he do? He will whisper to the person on the right, he will whisper to the person on the left. And who allowed him to come? Who brought him in here and through the members only door? We did. And even if he got through here when he's standing on the musalla, we can all push him out if we just were to stand shoulder to shoulder. But even then we say, Aja, come on, stand next to me. We are inviting the shaitan as ourselves within, you know, our salah. So we are the major culprits. It's not the shaitan, you know, himself, if you think about it carefully. So all of these things are very important for us to kind of understand. Even in relation to the marketplace, the Prophet ﷺ says that don't be the first ones to go to the marketplaces, and don't be the last ones to leave the marketplaces. Just go when it's necessary, do what you need to do and come back. Why? Because the marketplace is the hub of the shaitan. Because you go there, you see which women are coming, which girls are coming, who's sitting here, who's doing this, who's doing that, and all of those normal barriers that we have of separation, they're all kind of gone, and everybody is pushing, shoving and everything else, and talking and interacting. So it becomes a very, very dangerous place. So understand your enemy, understand your foe, understand his tactics, understand his approach, and then protect yourself, shield yourself from the shaitan, because he has already said, don't blame me, only blame yourself. I've never done anything for you or against you. You've done everything yourself, you've made your own decisions. So this was obviously in relation to the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That, and if there not whenever there, and if there comes to you from shaitan an evil suggestion. And this is the difference. Remember yesterday we were talking about that he will attack all of those people apart from the true servants, illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin, apart from the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no sway over them. So become true servants and slaves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there comes to you from Satan an evil suggestion, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-hearing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Whenever you are about to begin and recite the Qur'an, which we are about to do, remember we've done the sana, and then we're about to say Fatiha, so which is about the surah, always begin with أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and then say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So this is the dua that we ordinarily read. We read in our sunnah, we read in our nawafil, and when we are standing behind the imam reads أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, and the imam reads Bismillah, and the imam reads Fatiha. But it's important for us to focus on this particular dua, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, because it has a huge impact on us realizing who our enemy is, realizing what he's trying to do, and then us turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, Allah, you are the greatest protector, you are the all-hearing, you are the all-seeing, you are the one who can provide me with the shield, you are the one who can protect me from the shaitan, and then I seek your refuge away from the shaitan and his attacks and his tactics and from his whispers. You are seeking that protection and refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that when we commence the prayer, when we begin the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders a barrier between us to be lifted when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like a barrier comes between us, you know, and everything that is around us. So what happens when there's a barrier? Nobody can infiltrate past that barrier. So the shaitan can't come in from the right or the left, from in front or from behind. It's because a barrier has been lifted. So it's just between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, if we turn away, and remember we've discussed this, if you turn away with your heart, if you turn away with your eyesight in your salah, and you get distracted, then that barrier is lowered, and that comes down. And what happens when the barrier comes down? For all of you who've seen, Marvel, what's that movie? You know, Avengers in the end game, not the end game, yes. What that barrier in Wakanda? They lower the barrier, and all of the then they come in. This is what's happening. That, you know, your barrier is there. It's there to protect you. It's there to shield you from the waswas of the shaitan, from the evil of the shaitan. But when you get distracted in your salah and you think about other things, then that barrier drops down, and the shaitan, he'll come in and he'll begin hugging you again and kissing you again and talking and whispering to you again. So that barrier is brought down. So it is in these moments of heedlessness that shaitan will try to make you think about one thing, then that will lead to another and another and another and another until that barrier is completely removed, and then nobody obviously will be able to protect us because the shaitan is just there sitting with us. So you need to protect yourself. Protect yourself before coming to the masjid, as I mentioned. Leave your phones at home. Put your phones on flight mode. Don't have these constantly swiping and checking these things, because you're just bringing the dunya in with you. And with the dunya, you're bringing the shaitan in with you as well. Masjid should be a place of complete silence and beauty and devotion. No distractions whatsoever. And we should remove all potential distractions in our salah. So ta'awuz, we actually come to the ta'awuz, which is we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, that you, I seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan who is the rejected. A'udhu, I seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ash-shaytan, from the shaitan ar-rajim. And this is important for us to reflect upon, because we just say this beginning and opening sentence, but we don't actually reflect on it. Do you know why shaitan was rejected? Why not just say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan? Why say ar-rajim? This is the point I want to reflect upon today. We say, min shaitan ar-rajim. Why was the shaitan rejected? He was rejected, why? He was rejected from the Jannah. Wasn't he not? He was rejected from Jannah. He was thrown out of Jannah. But at the same time, you can also say, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hawa, they were also rejected from Jannah as well, weren't they? They were also taken out of Jannah and placed onto the earth. Does that mean that the Adam and Hawa, they are rejected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, this is not the true meaning of rejection. This is not the true meaning of rajim. Rajim here actually means that rejected not just from the Jannah, which is the bounty and blessing of of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather he was rejected from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we are seeking, the protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, that yes, I am who I am, and I have sinned, I do all of these things, but in spite of that, never ever reject me, never ever keep me away from your mercy. Because without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can never enter into Jannah. Even the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala mentioned that, don't ever think that you'll enter into Jannah based on your actions. But no, you will enter into Jannah based on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the opposite of rajim, the opposite of rejection. It will be based on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan was rejected from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he only disobeyed one command. And this is very important for us to reflect upon. He disobeyed one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that one command, he was rejected for eternity from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourself, when we come to our salah, how many actions, how many commands have we rejected of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many commands do we disobey of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his doors of mercy open for us. So when we seek the refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Allah, protect us from the shaitan, but also give us your mercy. Give us your mercy. So think about this next time. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani wajim. Understand your enemy and who he is and his tactics. Say, Allah, keep me away from him. I don't want to be disobedient like him. I don't want to be arrogant like him. I don't want to be haughty like him. I don't want to reject all of the commands like he did. I just, Allah, want your protection, want your mercy. This is who you want to be. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you. So ta'awwuz, what does that ta'awwuz actually do? It cloaks you. It gives you that shield. It gives you that barrier. It protects you. And also the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that when you do the ta'awwuz, do you know what the ta'awwuz is actually like? It's like a lightning bolt. And for those people who have seen the lightning strike, it strikes at a very, very fast pace, and it's the heat of the lightning and the power of the lightning is enormous. And you can, if you could be able to, you know, harness the lightning bolt, we could probably, you know, run all of Ashton for weeks and months on end. That's how much energy there is contained within a lightning bolt. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions that when you seek ta'awwuz, when you seek the protection and refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan, who is the rejected, then a lightning bolt, it strikes the shaitan. Wherever he is, it strikes him. What happens? A person who is struck by lightning, do you think they're going to stand up? Do you think they're going to come back for a second go at you and try to attack you again and again? No, he won't. The shaitan will run a mile. But you really have to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, from your heart, with obedience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with enmity for the shaitan, with understanding who he is and his whispers, and saying, Allah, I didn't bring him into the masjid, I haven't brought him in myself, I only have you in my heart, I only have your love in my heart, and I only seek your mercy. This is what I want. Then that lightning bolt will hit the shaitan, and then he will run far away from you, and he will not affect you, and he will not put any whispers into you. So that rajim comes from rajam. A rajam means to throw, and the lightning bolt is thrown towards the shaitan, and you cast him away. And this is what we're trying to do, cast the shaitan far away from our ibadah, from our salah. And this is also what we do on those people who have been on hajj. What do? We do the rajam. Do you know what we do? Rajim is when we take the stone, that means to pelt and to throw. We're throwing it at the shaitan. We're pushing him away, keeping him away from our ibadah, away from our deen, away from everything. And say, look, you've got nothing to do with me. I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why it's very important to reflect upon the shaitan in a positive way, to understand who he is. And then when we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani wajim, you'll have so much more meaning when you say that dua. Just like we did subhanakallah, so much more meaning in subhanakallah. Now when you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani wajim, you'll have so much more meaning. And because of that understanding and that reflection, you'll be able to enjoy your salah a bit more as well. So this is just the ta'awwuz. Then inshallah tomorrow we'll do the bismillah and the barakah of bismillah as well, and how it is the basis of everything else that is about to come, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the shaitan. protect us, and we seek His refuge and His protection from the regime, from the one who is rejected. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always encompasses us in His mercy. The shaitan has promised that as long as he is alive and up until the day of Qiyamah, he will continue to try to distract us, keep us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for my true servants, that my doors of mercy will always be open for them up until the day of Qiyamah. So when you pray your salah, think about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the shaitan is rejected and he will never have the mercy, but we can have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to make sure our outer and our inner is worthy of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan.